Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Mario, are you going to put the other part in that promo? That I made up the name? LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to tonight's show. Bob Nightingale from USA Today will hop on the show. Eric Pincus from the Bleacher Report. We'll talk some NBA with him. It's been interesting just kind of how we want to start off the show and which I guess you could take it in a number of each one of these nights. There's different categories from each one of these sports where I'm like, all right, do I want to go NBA tonight? Tonight it just seems like the right thing to do is talk Major League Baseball. Obviously, talk about whether baseball is what the next step is going to be for the league. Just in general, are we going to have baseball this year? I've said this. You just heard Mace talking about it on Crosstalk as well. I spent some time for really the last couple of weeks saying, okay, they're not going to screw this up. They can't screw this up. How can you? If you got other sports to come back and play over the next 60 days. Of course, Major League Baseball is not going to find a way to be the one, you know, obviously one of the key sports here in the States, to be sitting in the back seat and say, you know what, we're just going to take a pass this year. We weren't able to come to some type of an agreement. Bob Nightingale, who will come up at 7 o'clock, his article in the USA Today, despite bitterness between Major League Baseball and the Players Union, there will be a baseball season. So he's, I don't want to say one of the few that's optimistic, but certainly he thinks that, you know, similar to what I've just mentioned, that baseball just cannot be that stubborn, that greedy, and really that stupid to find a way to get this season going and or to not find a way to get this season going while some of these other sports are looking to make some progress. Okay, so over the last 24 hours, Here's who we've heard from in the baseball world. Number one, Max Scherzer of the Nationals. We talked about that basically yesterday, actually during the show. I think it was around 8 o'clock or so. I read off his tweet, and that's been talked about a lot today. So he comes out, he says, "There's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reduction." So he's taking a stance that many other players are taking. Okay, understand. We're not going to play 162 games. You can prorate us off those 82 games. Major League Baseball, we are very well aware that the owners now want to come back, and they obviously want to change that deal. They want to do some kind of revenue share, split revenue, have these tiers that we talked about based upon how much money you're making. That's going to ultimately determine. If you're a player making $30 million a year, you're going to get hit the most. If you're making $500,000, you'd get hit the least. So there's obviously these tiers that many of the baseball players, especially these top paid athletes, are obviously not in favor of. Scott Boras, who's as big of an agent as it gets in all the sports, he sends out a message to the players: don't bail out the owners. These owners are worth billions and billions of dollars. Have a list here, actually. There's, I think it was Forbes that did this. Forbes did this. The 10 richest, or Insider did this, the 10 richest billionaire MLB franchise owners. And it just obviously shows their net worth. And I'm going to highlight that in a little bit. Top 10, the one worth the least is $1.5 billion, and that's Jerry Reinsdorf, Chicago White Sox owner. Obviously the Bulls owner as well. We heard a lot from him in the Last Dance on the over the last 5 weeks that docuseries was going on. But we'll talk about the owners in just a second. So Scott Boras, his position to the players is don't fall for any of this. These owners can front the money. They definitely have the money. They're just trying to take some of that money from you because they know they have the power, they have the ability to do it, or they're at least going to try. And then Trevor Bauer of the Cincinnati Reds, tell Scott Boras in a tweet to keep his personal agenda out of union business. I guess here's my question, and this isn't the first time that I've asked this question. Who's running things for Major League Baseball? Don't you sometimes just kind of take a step back and you look at Major League Baseball and you ask yourself, who's driving this thing? You know, who's driving the bus? It doesn't feel like there's anybody behind the wheel. Anybody that wants to come in and sit in the driver's seat can have it for a few seconds or a few minutes. Then somebody else is going to come in. It definitely doesn't feel like there is one person in control when it comes to Major League Baseball. And what's sad about this whole thing is I've looked at it this way, and this is kind of the opinion and the position that I've had. It's a bad look already to be talking to, you know, millionaires to be fighting with billionaires. This isn't the time to be doing that. And maybe it's never the time to be doing that because, you know, of course, the regular Joe Schmo who's going and purchasing the merchandise and is going to Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium or going to any of these games, maybe they're traveling across the country and trying to visit as many ballparks as they can. That person is typically going to be just your average worker, just your blue collar rolls up his sleeves or rolls up her sleeves and goes to work on a day-to-day basis. It's not a good look to hear millionaires versus billionaires. But the one thing that I think kind of sticks out for me, don't you always feel like owners get off scot-free? Don't you always feel like owners, and I'm going to use just baseball as my primary example right now, they don't say anything. You haven't heard anything from any of the owners. And of course, that's strategic. That's not by mistake. They are, you know, either counseled or smart enough to know that, okay, let's not say anything. Let's just try and work on these negotiations. And if there's enough chatter from the players, maybe the fans will turn on the players like they did in the 94-95 strike. The players were the ones that had to face the media, had to face the fans, where really the owners are always hiding. That's what they do. The owners are going to hide. They don't want to hear any of this stuff. They don't want a microphone in front of them. They don't want a camera in front of them. They are worth billions of dollars and understand that it wouldn't be good for their brand. It wouldn't be good for them. There's no advantage for them getting in front of the camera. This is why I'm, you know, from a personal standpoint, and I love that Mace put out that tweet that just took a vote, and the vote really just had to do with who you're pointing the finger at. And he said 75% of, you know, those who, you know, obviously follow him on Twitter voted that they'd point the finger at the owners. And I don't know if this happens often. I think a lot of times it's so easy to blame the players. I think it's so easy to criticize the players. I think it's so easy to point the finger at the players. Happens all the time. And it's not, I'm just not talking Major League Baseball. Players are criticized in every league. And they're the ones, by the way, they're the ones that everybody's rooting for. They're the ones paying all the money. They're going to go. They want to go see Mike Trout. They want to go see Bellinger. They want to see Kershaw. They don't want to see owners. They don't care about the owners. You respect the owners. You know, Dr. Jerry Buss was arguably the greatest owner of sports. You respected him and you loved him because he cared just as much about winning as the fans did. And you could tell that he did because you won 10 NBA championships. You went to the finals 15 years out of the 33, 34 years that he had the Lakers until, you know, obviously he passed away. There isn't enough. I think there's never enough criticism towards owners. Is that tide going to change a little bit? Is this that one time that players will get more support at a time like this, that the finger will be pointed less at them? And by the way, I don't have that answer. I do. I will tell you this, that tweet that Max Scherzer of the Nationals, he sent out yesterday. There's also a lot of, you know, there's tweets supporting him. Then there's also a lot of tweets saying, look, you're, you know, you're worth a lot of money. Okay, you're going to take a haircut. Do it. Do it and sacrifice for the fans that want to watch baseball again. Sacrifice for all those that have sacrificed a ton over these last couple of months, obviously, with the 100,000 plus people who have passed away from COVID-19. I think there's also a lot of fans that just want to see baseball. But what I will say is, I cannot tell you how much I hope for in this circumstance when it comes to baseball that the finger is also pointed at the owners. One of the things that bothers me, there was actually a good article on SB Nation earlier today that was basically support the players, not the Major League Baseball owners. And listen, you could pick any side you want. It really doesn't matter. I'm just giving, you know, obviously my viewpoint. And the hope is at the end of the day, owners and players find a way to work together, find a way to do what the right thing is, and also are reasonable in their negotiations. A lot of the players felt disrespected with what the owners came back to the players. They felt it was completely unreasonable. So hopefully everything does work out. But to just have the finger pointed at the players, I don't think is right. One of the things is we know what the players make, and we have no idea what the owners make. So nobody believes them. You could tell that there's absolutely no trust between the players and the owners. There isn't. They hide their revenue. I've said this, and I know that these are obviously owners. There's a reason why they're billionaires. They're very strategic with everything that they do. I cannot stand that, you know, you have these billionaires that really have control of so many other livelihoods. If baseball comes back, these billionaires can actually, in a weird way, they can be, we can almost in a sense, what I'm trying, the word I'm trying to come up with here, we can support them. Like, we could be proud of them for being the leaders and not letting it just be financially run. And I know they're billionaires, but they have control of the players. They have control of their families. They have control of other workers that would be involved if baseball does come back. They have control of the media, the fans will be watching on TV. They control everything. They have the ability to make it happen. And my hope is that they're not allowing the greed to take over, which it very well can. At least so far, it has seemed like from an ownership perspective, it's a tough pill to swallow if you're a baseball fan out there. And all you want to do is you see the momentum coming for the NBA. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. We'll talk about that later. We see momentum in even some of these soccer leagues right now in Europe. They're targeting dates now to get started again. NHL, it looks like they're, you know, obviously trying to get back as well. Some kind of 24 playoff tournament is what they're talking about. The owners never have to face the criticism. They never have to face the camera. Typically, that's the players. I wish the media did have more cameras and mics in front of the owners, and we could, you know, put them in an uncomfortable position and situation just the same way that these players are in. At the end of the day, to point the finger just at the players, I don't think is right. They are the employee. They are not the employer. And let's not forget, too, the players will most definitely be taking a risk. The owners won't. What I'm talking about is some type of a health risk if baseball does come back simply because of COVID-19. All right, if you guys want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN, who should you point the finger at here at Major League Baseball? And it doesn't have to be one or the other. Maybe you say everybody's at fault here. But would love to get your guys' thoughts and opinion. Feel free to call into the show. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Coming up next, by the way, I have some stuff from Jeff Passan, who was on the Sedano Show. So I want to play that as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
All right, just a quick reminder, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, police or firefighter, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how. Email the radio station here, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift card to include, or a thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop and VSLiquor.com, and a $100 Shooteria.com gift card. Cat footwear is available at Shooteria. Okay, so we'll continue to do that. We'll be starting that next week. And I plugged this a little bit earlier, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, coming up at 7 o'clock. So we'll kind of stay on this conversation about who's to blame here. And do we want to – I don't know how much I want to play the blame game, but I hate to see the players in this position for baseball. I'd hate to see all the blame go to them because I really don't think it would be fair.
One thing I think just to emphasize here, billionaires are always going to win a battle versus millionaires. And I know the public doesn't care about that right now, but what the public does care about is just getting baseball back. What the public wants is that opportunity to watch their local team on a night-in, night-out basis for 82 games this year. And if we get more than that and, you know, the players come back and ask for 100 games or 110, whatever the case is, great, even better. There are some concerns about playing more games simply because of the virus. But just to give you an idea, listen, these owners have the power. If the owners want to play, if the owners want to make it happen, they'll make it happen. They will. I mean, there's 10 owners on this list I mentioned on Insider, top 10 richest billionaire MLB franchise owners. They're the ones that control it. Jerry Reinsdorf, Chicago White Sox, worth $1.5 billion. Ray Davis of the Texas Rangers, $2.2 billion. John Fisher of the Oakland Athletics, $2.5 billion. I'm just going down the list of, you know, billionaire owners. Why do I mention that? I mention that because if you think that player, I'm not saying that, you know, a lot of the clients Scott Boras represents aren't making an incredible amount of money. Don't get me wrong. Of course they are. But they don't have the control that these owners do. If the owners want to have a season this year, they're going to have a season. I was hearing today that there's also a few owners that think that they're going to lose money this season or just financially doesn't make sense. Let's just kick the can down the road. Let's wipe out 2020 and let's focus on 2021. What do you think that would do to your fan base? You think, okay, let's just talk from a business perspective. What do you think that's going to do for the future of your sport? By the way, how many players are employed by you if you go along with a season? If you do figure out how to get a season going this year and obviously figure out how to make those conversations continue to have some kind of progress, at least there's sort of a negotiation going on here. I don't know if it's a huge negotiation. I don't know how far they are in this negotiation, but when you just take a step back and you understand and you realize the power's in the owner's hands, it's not in the player's hands. If the owners want to make this work, they'll come back with some kind of offer that wasn't disrespectful the way they did. Maybe it's just posturing. Maybe this is just part of the negotiation. But if baseball doesn't come back and basketball and NHL and Major League Soccer and eventually football comes back, what do you think that does to the sport of baseball? What do you think that does? Georgia in Ventura, appreciate you calling in. You're on the Sliwa Show. What's your thought on this?
Well, there's many things, but The players really need to step back and stop making comments about cutting their salaries. When we are in a lockdown situation where caregivers are making, in L.A., not in the Midwest, $15 an hour, they're taking their lives, nurses, doctors, and they're upset that they might be locked down for 4 months and scared about their families when we've been living this for 3 months, and their employees, and who's going to ruin baseball is the baseball players.
Well, listen, I'm not a big fan of. We'll use Scherzer as an example, right? I mean, Max Scherzer is making great money.
Several of them have made a lot of comments about.
And they're better off, Georgia. They're better off not saying much, right? Like I know that fans right now don't want to hear. Like I mentioned, they don't want to hear anybody complaining about millions of dollars that they're making. At the same time, Georgia. My hope is, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to try and squeeze one more call in before we go to Bob Nightingale. From an owner's perspective, when I say they have the control, when I say that they can 100% dictate whether a season is going to happen this year or it's not, it's not all on their back. It takes two to tango. But there is this perception, and I think this has happened very often in sports, where we don't want to point the finger at the owners, we just want to point the finger at the players. That part is a little upsetting, but I understand why. You go to games because of the players. You don't go because of the owners. You buy jerseys. How many jerseys are being sold out there right now that it says, you know, the owner's name on the back of the jersey? There isn't any. You pay the top dollar, whether it's your cable provider, whether it's going to a game, whether it's paying for the parking, the concessions, all that. You do it because of the players. So I understand why there's a lot of attention that goes towards the players. But if you don't believe that these owners have the control, I think there's definitely two sides to the book on this one. And I hope this is a little bit different. Most of the time, it's the players that get the heat. I hope under these circumstances, there's more pressure that goes towards the owners. Mike in West Hills. Mike, appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, Alan. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
I got a problem at both ends here. You know, I'm a frontline worker. I manage a pharmacy. And, you know, players are all talking about the risk and everything factor they have. I have thousands of customers every week that come through my doors. They're coughing and possibly positive. And, you know, we risk our lives every single day, every hour at the game. I think both the owners and the players are at fault here. I think the owners are agreed at the end of the day, when this is all over, the owners may not make as much money as they usually do, but they're still going to be billionaires next year. And the players, if they, no matter how many games they play or what they're prorated to, they're still going to be millionaires. And I'm going to be making $80,000 a year and paying $300 for a third baseline ticket. And it just doesn't make sense.
Well, listen, first of all, I appreciate, you know, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And I think we all do. And I appreciate you calling to the show and giving your opinion. All right, Mike?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, bud. Well, that's at the end of the day, a fan is going to be able to tell you, and a fan is going to dictate a lot of things as well. If you piss off your fan base, especially under these circumstances, and you don't feel like you have to play or you should play, or it's not convenient enough for you to play, those are two callers that just called in, and I think there's a lot of fans that feel that way right now about baseball. Now, there's a way to solve all of this. And part of the reason why, and I greatly appreciate Bob Nightingale's time from USA Today, he's got an article. Despite bitterness between MLB and the players' union, there will be a baseball season. So Bob Nightingale might be, you know, one of the minority that thinks we're eventually going to have you know, obviously a season this year, and he might be one that he's obviously got his reasons for it, and I'm sure a lot of it is going to have to do with the sheer stupidity it would be for the sport and how awful it would look for the sport if they didn't find a way to make it happen. Bob Nightingale coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Very happy to have Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining the show. Great article right now. Despite bitterness between MLB and the players' union, there will be a baseball season. Bob, thanks for taking the time to join the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Alan.
All right, so I would love to. You have been one, and I know I've kind of, you know, read your work over the last couple of weeks as well, and you've had a optimistic viewpoint on Major League Baseball and trying to get the season, you know, obviously started and play out some kind of a shortened season. What gives you that confidence? What gives you that hope that both sides are going to eventually work this thing out?
Well, the big thing is that they're both at the negotiating table. It's not like a stare-down contest or actually talking. Yeah, they disagree, but they also agree very much that they have to have a season. And it would be disastrous to the players, it would be disastrous to the owners, you know, to go the full year without one. The public, you know, wouldn't stand for it. I think, you know, free agency this winter would be crushed, and season ticket sales, I think, would be crushed. So I think both sides, you know, realize how much they need one another.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm always kind of looking at, Bob. I mean, it's easy right now, and maybe a lot of this is just, you know, jockeying for position. And that's not to say, of course, there's incredible ramifications from a financial standpoint this year. But let's just say, hypothetically, there wasn't a 2020 season. Wouldn't that carry over to next year? Wouldn't that carry over for, you know, for years to come? Wouldn't there also be a fan base that kind of sits back and says, you know, at a time where we thought the way we probably wouldn't get baseball was because of this virus that has swept the world, and to know that, okay, no, we actually didn't get baseball because they couldn't agree to the billions of dollars that are obviously still at stake. Isn't that perception enough to kind of drive this thing and figure out a way to get some type of a deal done?
Yeah, if you didn't have a season, you know, because of finances, it'd be suicidal to the sport. I think it would set the sport back decades. I think people that are fans would stop watching baseball completely. I mean, people are discussing enough, you know, when the 94 World Series was canceled, McGuire's Sosa home run race helped. But it took about 12, 13 years for them to get that same attendance level. In this case, I would think it would take a couple of decades. Almost, 40 people out of work in this country. And for, you know, millionaires and billionaires to be fighting over dollars, nobody would have the stomach for it. So I think they'd be so disgusted and say, I'm not watching our baseball game again.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining the Sliwa Show. Okay, so what's the next step here by the players' union? What do you think they do, and when do you think some kind of a counter proposal would be going back to Major League Baseball?
Well, I think that what they want is more games. So they'll say, "Hey, we're going to prorate our salaries like we promised, but we want some more games in here." And I'm sure they'll add something else in there to help appease the owners. And the owners say, you know, we wouldn't mind playing more games, but we don't want to go too deep in the season because we're afraid of a second wave of the virus. And they also say, you know, look, we're going to have a 40% revenue loss. You got to help share this with us if there's no fans in the crowd. Now, if fans start showing up, if some municipalities start opening, it's a different story. They get that money. So I think, you know, they'll do some kind of adjusted schedule, like, okay, let's depend on if fans come back a month from now, 2 months from now. If it's a postseason, the players get a bigger share of that, of the billion-dollar pie. So there's ways for both sides to compromise here.
Bob Nightingale joining the Sliwa Show, USA Today. Great article right now. Despite bitterness between MLB and the players' union, there will be a baseball season. Bob, can you help? Maybe you could help me understand this, because, you know, that meeting that took place and the agreement, was it back on March 26th? Was that the when both sides?
Yeah, it was done March 26th, correct.
So there's obviously a huge detail in the fingers being pointed out on both sides. The numbers that were agreed to, the players are saying that was with the fact knowing that fans could potentially not be in attendance. Owners are saying, no, that wasn't the case. I almost feel when I hear there's, you know, that part wasn't ironed out or the details weren't ironed out, I just kind of scratch my head. That sounds like such a humongous factor. And especially at that time, it's very fair to think that there could very well not be fans, obviously, for an entire Major League Baseball season. What exactly happened there? I mean, is this – did one side make a mistake and they're trying to make up for that mistake now? I never understood how that was a sticking point or a detail that wasn't figured out.
Well, it was a little sloppy in a spot. The agreement, you know, I've seen it. On the front page, it said, this is a deal, but if fans aren't allowed in the stadiums, if there's travel restrictions – Commissioner of Baseball, you know, can redo it and say, you know, we're going to restructure the contracts and both sides can negotiate in good faith on contracts. So it doesn't say, you know, it clearly says, you know, this, you know, as long as they're not fans, we're going to do this thing over, at least the finance part. Players will still get their service time, which would be worth about $600 million this year. But, you know, the owners have the right to redo contracts. Later on in the agreement, when it talks about just, you know, the play and everything else and opening the season, that part doesn't say anything about no fans in the stands. So that part should have been cleared up more. But, you know, so both sides can make an argument. But, you know, in the right there on the front page, it does say, you know, Commissioner of Baseball has a right to say no season if there's no fans or travel restrictions.
That you know, when I hear that, it's almost obviously been a huge sticking point in a lot of these negotiations, even have to go back to the negotiating table, which is, you know, obviously what the players are saying here. But when I that's such a humongous detail, the fact that, you know, you use the word sloppy, it just surprises me. You know, that doesn't sound like – that sounds like something in a fantasy baseball draft where, you know, you have just your buddies playing together where you miss details like that. Not when it's, you know, representing Major League Baseball, the owners and the union. That part is always I've always scratched my head on that. I always just kind of look back and saying, well, this meeting on March 26th, or, you know, obviously leading up to that, how wasn't there more more clarity on that? But it sounds like maybe there was clarity, and the players are obviously having to pay for a little bit of that right now.
Yeah, it's almost like a loophole, you know, that you can take advantage of because it's not clear later on in section four. But in the front, it's very clear. And when they're talking about, you know, not wanting to redo the contract, you know, the MLB office, the owners are beside themselves saying, what do you mean? It's right here in black and white. So that's why both sides are incensed over the deal. And I think, you know, a lot of players don't realize that part is in there. And maybe owners don't realize, hey, that, you know, later on in the agreement, it doesn't say anything about, you know, not having fans in the stands.
Bob, what do you think of Scherzer's comments last night on Twitter? Obviously, voicing his opinion and his displeasure with what Major League Baseball came back to the Players Union with.
Well, he's a very strong union guy. I one of the highest paid players in baseball. A Scott Boras client. You know, and, you know, Scott Boras has been very adamant about, hey, no one should change their contract. And he's on board with that. And I think players were offended by the counterproposal by MLB. You know, that they're the ones who initiate and say, okay, the biggest cuts, the biggest stars, because that's what they do in their own MLB office, that the employees making the most take the biggest cuts. And I think the players' side is thinking, wait a minute, now these are our biggest stars. There's a reason why they're making over $20, $30 million. Mike Trout should be the highest paid player in the game. So I think that offended a lot of players. And I think if, you know, MLB had to do that over again, they would have said, well, this is the amount of money we need saved here. 40%. You guys, you know, divide it up the way you want.
Is that relationship, Bob Nightingale from USA Today joined the Sliwa Show. Bob, is that relationship between the players and, you know, ownership and obviously the commissioner, Rob Manfred, is it just overall, toxic is not a good word, but is it a bad relationship? Is there not enough trust? I've kind of used comparisons and I always talk about the NBA and, how I feel that the commissioner, I guess you could say, has the best interest of not just the owners, but also the players. I feel like there's some unity there when they're kind of negotiating, okay, what to do, not just in this circumstance with COVID-19 hitting, but just other deals that they've tried to put together. It feels like a lot of unity. Do you feel with Major League Baseball that's not the case at all? And is the relationship between the owners, the commissioner, and obviously the players, is it one of those that it's just business and nothing else?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, distrust on both sides, and both sides are being careful because there's a collective bargaining agreement coming up in December 1st, you know, 2021. So, you know, they're kind of shadow boxing right now, trying to decide which way to go with this thing. But they both sides are cautious. Different people are weighing in on different things that's making life more difficult in negotiations. So, you know, they realize they need each other. I mean, there's no game without the players. And, you know, and the players know that someone's going to pay their salaries. That's the owners. So, yeah, I don't think it's like the NBA at all. It's right now, it's just very cutthroat. And we even saw that in spring training. Remember when Justin Turner was upset when Rob Manfred mentioned something about the World Series trophy
being
a piece of metal. Mm-hmm. He misspoke, but players such as Turner jumped all over that. And so there was a, you know, people kind of feuding right there with Rob Manfred.
You mentioned Scott Boras, obviously agent for a lot of the premier players in Major League Baseball. Trevor Bauer had some comments about Boras. I'm just curious, from your perspective, do you think a lot of players feel that way about Scott Boras? Of kind of, look, don't try and don't speak for the players, even though I know he represents a lot of the players. Don't speak for the players' union. Do you feel that there's a lot of players with similar feelings, or is that just Trevor Bauer, who doesn't like that, you know, one of these powerful, powerful agents has his hand in some of these conversations?
Well, there's a decent amount of, you know, players that feel that way, and agents. It's almost like, you know, everybody else is being quiet during this thing, but Scott's been very vocal, about this the entire time. And I think agents feel like they've been, you know, overpowered a little bit in the sense that they let Tony Clark and Bruce Meyer and the attorneys handle this thing. You know, we don't need a weigh in here. And so I think that's why, you know, Trevor Bauer said what he did. And, you know, Boras did not respond to that. And even when the MLB made the proposal to the union that they're so upset about, this time Scott didn't say a word. So, you know, I think maybe he's been told, hey, you know, let us handle this thing. You know, we don't need any, you know, more influence. You know, just like the owners, we haven't heard a single word from one owner during all these negotiations.
Yeah, isn't that kind of funny? It's and I feel bad, and I'm not going to try and pinpoint this on one or the other, but every time you have, you know, circumstances where two sides can't agree to something, or at least they're in the process of doing it. From a fan perspective, a media perspective, you're trying to point the finger at one or the other. Oh, they're wrong, or that person's wrong. There is something about all owners not saying a thing. And of course, players, there's a lot more of them. They're, you know, a lot more, you know, obviously well-known. Their access to social media, they're comfortable with, obviously, in some kind of capacity, talking to fans. If you had to point the finger, I mean, if you're saying, man, one of these sides have to budge, even though I know both sides will eventually budge if they're going to put some deal together. But do you feel like the deal that's on the table right now, the offer that's there, it's the owners that have more giving back to do to try and get this thing? Or do you feel, no, it's just as much on the player's side and on the player's shoulders as it is on the owners?
Well, the owners are saying it's going to cost them money to play games. And so obviously, you know, they think they're losing money, where the players obviously are gaining money. So I think it's more important for the players to play, you know, even if it's a 50% of your paycheck or the prorate salary, you know, rather than sitting home and getting zero, that sort of thing. But I do believe that the owners realize it's great for the product, great for the brand, and they hate going to the winter, you know, having to sell season tickets without baseball being played, you know, since, you know, October of the previous year. Mm-hmm. So I do think the you know, both sides will give in here. I think the players will definitely take a pay cut. We'll see how much. And I think the owners will back off saying, well, just because we're losing 40% of our revenue doesn't mean you have to. And so I think they back off that 40% as well.
You think they ever open up their books? And I know that's been actually something that's been from a lot of these players that's I think something Scherzer mentioned, Max Scherzer in his tweet. You think that's something that happens, or this is part of the strategic process of being an owner and making sure that, you know, for the most part, you don't know what all the details are when it comes to their revenue?
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever happen. I mean, it would take, you know, months and not years for the CPAs to analyze exactly who's making what. You know, the owners are keeping that from each other as well. You know, the Dodgers aren't letting everybody know every detail of that TV contract. You know, it brings in so much money. That's a private thing. And some of these places, like in St. Louis, have a ballpark village that Scott Boras refers to a lot. Wrigleyville, Atlanta's got an area called the Battery. You know, those places make a ton of money, just those places off-site. So it's hard to calculate how much those teams are making off that, because they're not even sharing that revenue with each other. So I don't think the owners would even open their books to one another, let alone the players in the union.
So it's definitely not coming out to the public, I'll tell you that then. Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, final question. Just if you don't mind explaining, we got some information on this a little bit earlier today. Can you explain just some of the details of what's going on right now with the minor league system?
Yeah, I mean, no one's getting hurt more than these guys. You know, young kids, making $400 a week. And some place like Oakland A's says, hey, we're not going to pay you for the rest of the year, which makes sense because there's no minor league system. But it's only going to cost you about $1 million if you do. And some places like Seattle says, oh, no, we're going to pay our guys all year long. But then, then you release 35, 40 guys. So you're not paying many guys. So what's going on now is, everybody said it's going to happen, it's just, a lot of minor league players getting released because there's going to be no minor league system. There's going to start being teams that are cut away. I think there's going to be 40, 42 teams that are going to be eliminated. So you don't even need these guys until, next year, except for your top players. So everybody's looking to save a few bucks, and the minor leaguers are paying the price again.
Yeah, that's sad. We did get a chance to see that, and even the $400 a week that you mentioned, and I'm sure that just the minor league system, of course, what a grind that is, and their journey to try and make it up to the major leagues, but this obviously having an effect on everybody. Bob, it's a great article, and I love the optimism. You could read it right now, USA Today. Despite bitterness between MLB and the Players Union, there will be a baseball season. So greatly appreciate your time, and thank you for doing this.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's Bob Nightingale right there. Let's do this. I know we had some calls that want to give their opinion. So when we come back, Jeff Passan was on with the Sedano Show. I want to get just the latest of what's going on just in general with Major League Baseball. And do you want to point a finger at anybody? Would you prefer not to, and just as a fan, just say, listen, I don't care how you get it done, just get it done. For me personally, of course, you want baseball back, but I think I put more responsibility on the owners to find a way to make it happen than just pointing the finger at the players. You could be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Who do you put the blame on Major League Baseball if we don't have a season? The players, the owners? Feel free to call into the station, and we'll take some of your calls. 710-ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, police or firefighter, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift, which will include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a $100 gift card to Wingstop and VSLiquor.com, and a $100 Shuteria.com gift card. Cat Footwear is available at Shuteria. So excited and looking forward to doing that. We could highlight some of the great frontline workers, obviously, around Southern California. Well, great stuff from Bob Nightingale, and I mentioned this to Bob as we started the interview. He's been very optimistic that he thinks baseball will come back. So even in a time like this where I feel like there's less momentum towards baseball, look, this can all turn around. It could all turn around in the next few days, and we're all talking about how baseball's coming back and everyone's feeling positive and everyone's happy now and singing Kumbaya because the owners and the players found a way to make it work. That could happen. Nobody's saying that can't happen. But I think some of that momentum that was there, certainly it seems like it's slowing down a little bit. ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan was on with George Sedano and the Sedano Show a little bit earlier today. Here's Passan's thoughts on the chances of MLB returning.
I think they're worse than they were yesterday, but and I don't think they're worse than they were yesterday because the rhetoric is particularly substantive. I think it's because the more time that is spent without either party offering some sign of detente, the likelier it is that the hardline groups on both sides are going to dig in hard and that the clock is just going to run out on a season. And I suppose if worst comes to worst, they could come back in August or even in September and run a quick, you know, round robin tournament before the playoffs, or just do a playoffs rather than having any kind of a regular season. They could do something like that. But man, at that point, I have a difficult time believing the players are going to want to do something like that. So the window's here, man. It's open. It's now. And these next 10 days, I said it on Get Up earlier this week. This has a chance to be the most consequential week in Major League Baseball since 1994. And so far, it is proving itself out to be.
John Henry, Boston Red Sox owner, worth $2.7 billion. I'll just keep going down the list. Artie Moreno of the Angels, worth $3.3 billion. And I do mention Mark Walter, obviously, of the Dodgers, $3.3 billion, part of the Guggenheim Partners. He's the founder and CEO of the firm. Listen, I say all this, and the reason why I point out those numbers is because that's the power. I mean, that's the power of Major League Baseball. It's coming from the owners. Of course it's coming from the owners. This is Jeff Passan on that offer that the players received, what they thought about it. And I think this is something that's important. And I think, you know, it's something that Bob Nightingale mentioned as well. There is this take from players as if it was disrespectful. So Passan gives his thoughts on, after receiving the offer, players believe that they needed to punch back.
I also think that the players feel really almost emboldened right now. And that, you know, players always feel like they're in the right. Owners always feel like they're in the right. But in this situation, I think because of just how bad the offer was from MLB on Tuesday, you know, cutting Mike Trout's pay from, it would have been $37 million at the start of the season, $19 million prorated under this plan, $5.7 million. I mean, you see Mike Trout every day. Mike Trout's the best player in the world right now. Mike Trout might end up at the end of his career being the best baseball player who's ever lived. Like, there's a distinct possibility that that's true. And beyond that, he is like a paragon of a human being too. And that's the person that you want to take a 70% haircut? Like, it's a hard thing for players to swallow, and I think they felt like if they did not punch back in the form of a guy who in Max Scherzer has a lot of gravitas and is accomplished and is going to be a Hall of Famer himself, that they just wouldn't have been doing it the right way. Is that the right strategy? I don't know. I think we'll see over time. But I think when you're dealing with a bunch of billionaire owners, people who don't generally have responses to them of any kind of contention, that going back at them and essentially punching them in the face might actually earn a little bit of respect. It might also kill the baseball season, but, you know, neither here nor there.
All right, that's Jeff Passan, who was on the Sedano Show earlier this morning. There's one other clip that I do want to play, but before I go any further, listen, it's an interesting kind of strategy too, to say they're punching back at the owners. Yeah, they should punch back a little bit. It is kind of funny to have that scale to say, okay, well, we're going to take away most from the players making the most, but there is also, you know, there's box office, and I know we don't have fans actually going to games, but there's box office athletes, box office players. And that's certainly the case in Major League Baseball. You're going out to see the stars. That's what you're going out to see. Of course, you're going out to see your team. You're representing the city that you're from, or maybe it's a player that you just loved watching and You just don't care. Wherever he goes, that's who you're going to follow. This is how your sport grows. This is how it becomes as popular as it is. And that's the same thing with the NBA. That's the same thing with movie premieres and movie theaters and these production companies. It's the stars. That's what makes the business run. And to have that drastic of a cut, and of course, look, the owners are taking a cut too. I don't want to come off too. Of course, the owners, the whole business model has completely changed. But I think the overall sentiment has been the offer was disrespectful to the players. Not the offer was, hey, it's fair. We're trying to make a deal here. Let's work together on this. It didn't seem like that was the case. Last thing I'm going to play from Passan. 82-game proposed season for Major League Baseball. There was a reason why they proposed 82 games. There has been some conversation about the players trying to get more games in so they can earn more revenue. Here's Jeff Passan.
The reason MLB has an 82-game schedule is because they're fearful that a second wave of the coronavirus is going to come around and get rid of the postseason, and that if the postseason is done, that's, you know, a giant chunk of its national television money that's missing. They're going to expand the playoffs this year specifically to go get more money. And so to lose that would be absolutely devastating and catastrophic for baseball, which is why when the players come back and they ask for 100 or 110 or even 120 games, they do so with the idea of playing into November, which their March agreement with the league says they can do. You know, you start this season as soon as you can and you play as many games as you can. And I think that what could happen, and this has been discussed in some circles, is they could say, hey, we're going to play 100 games, pay us our full pro rata for 82 of them and defer X amount. And, you know, that's how a deal comes together. And I don't know, it might not be the Players Association who proposed it. It might be Major League Baseball that proposed this, but there is somewhere in the middle for them to meet. Just a matter of how they're going to get there.
Said this a few times. I'll say it again. Figure it out. Make it happen. Fans don't care how you get it done. They just want to see you get it done. They want to see baseball back. And I mentioned that for the NBA, it's a humongous, I think. It's a big day tomorrow for the NBA. As, you know, obviously these conversations continue with the NBA. I don't want to say it's obviously not make it or break it. The NBA has already said they're not going to come out tomorrow with a guarantee of something that's going to happen. But for Major League Baseball, Jeff Passan saying that this is arguably the most important 10 days of the history of, you know, Major League Baseball, I don't disagree with that for a second. I don't even have a hesitation. They're either going to find a way to make it happen or they're going to allow greed to get in the way of getting baseball back. And if these other sports start rolling, damn, how stupid would baseball look? All right, we come back. I do want to switch gears. I want to talk some NBA basketball. Should lottery teams not report back if an NBA season continues? I think there's two scenarios that can play out. Also, there's a fantastic idea being floated around in the NBA as part of this play-in, and it specifically actually just affects the Western Conference. And Mark Lasseri, Bucks owner of CNBC, on what will happen at tomorrow's Board of Governors meeting. So all that coming up next. Greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.